So if you have been with us, I think this is just day two, lesson two, of this section on reconciliation. Lesson six. So if you were not here last time, what we're doing is we're talking about reconciliation, and we used a case study that is kind of at the beginning of, right at the top of the handout. So I'm going to go through that again, remind you of where we're at. We're looking at Frank and Wanda as this hypothetical couple and what's going on in their marriage, and then we're kind of using that to discuss what reconciliation looks like within a marriage. And so here's the situation, if you were gone last week, or just to remind you. So sitting in the pastor's office, Frank and Wanda, they don't really know what they should do. On the outside, everything looks good. They look like the perfect couple. They're involved in their church. They're active in the whole community. But in their home, it's very cold. You could say it's a cold war, where Wanda, in the past, walked in on Frank viewing pornography. And as Frank describes it, she comes into the room, she saw the computer screen, silently turned and left, never spoke of the matter again. The two never spoke of it again. And over the next 5 years, they had very few intimate encounters at all. And so this is something that's happened 5 years ago, and their marriage has been cold, distant, they've been very rarely intimate, and now they're in the pastor's office kind of talking through those things. All right? And so we're talking about this as an example of there's a need right now for reconciliation between Frank and Wanda. And in marriage in general, that's what we're talking about, is when is there a need for reconciliation? And so I think the first thing that we want to remind ourselves is that, right, reconciliation happens not just between, right, we could say the Father, the Son, the Spirit, or I'll just put God up here. Not just happens between Frank and Wanda, but there's a sense in which, I could do man, woman, husband, wife, whatever. But it not just needs to happen here, but it needs to happen here as well. Right? There needs to be some reconciliation. And we talked about how, you know, originally the need for reconciliation came with the first sin, right? So sin kind of severs these bonds between God and man and wife, right? Sin breaks those bonds. And so that kind of creates our situation where, what do we do with that sin? And so just one question over you. What was our initial response? Adam and Eve had an initial response. How do we deal with our sin in our natural state? What do we seek to do? Hide. We seek to hide it, right? Seek to hide it. In Adam and Eve, what did they do? They ran and hid, and then they did something else? They covered, right? So sometimes we seek to hide and cover, right? And the sin is still there. And so we had all these different ways. If you look right before where we were at today, last time we ended with these things. There's redirecting, right? Feigned transparency, limited communication, normalizing, ignoring, and then the big one is starts with a B, blaming, right? That's the one we see in the garden, is that we seek to turn away all the attention from our own sin, cover it, hide from it. And so what we need to talk about now is we're getting into what should happen. What is the way we should treat and deal with this sin? So I have a volunteer. We're going to read Matthew 5, 23 through 24. Anybody want to read that for me? Ben, go.
So if you're offering your gift before the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift.
Yeah. So the we have this situation where Jesus is giving this scenario, and why does he say you should leave your gift? Stop your worship. What's happening? What happens in this scenario?
First, be reconciled to the brother.
Okay, and before he goes, though, like, why? What does it say? Like, what happens? He's worshiping. He's offering his gift, and he remembers, right? So, yeah. So, yeah, that's what he needs to do first, is go and be reconciled. So, do you think that it's possible, and this is kind of what this situation gets at, is it possible you reconciled with God, but not with man? There's a hint there. What do you think? Can you be reconciled with God, but not be reconciled with brother or sister?
Yeah, when the other is not interested in reconciliation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And any verses come to mind along that those lines?
Insofar as it depends on you, be at peace with all men.
Yeah, yeah. So as far as it depends on you, right? Kind of implying that you may not be able to be at peace. You may not, it might not be possible to be reconciled. But our heart and our effort should be seek reconciliation at all times. And so like in Frank and Wanda's case, each one of them ought to be thinking, you know, I don't know if I can't control my spouse, but they ought to both be seeking reconciliation, regardless of, right? But as far as it depends on them. What about the follow-up? Do you think you could be reconciled with God but unwilling to reconcile? Are there cases where this relationship just kind of needs to end and we don't need to reconcile? What do you think? Yeah.
I'll just throw it out there. Let's say you have an abusive parent
mm-hmm.
that hasn't repented, taken steps.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, reconciliation really wouldn't happen until
mm-hmm.
you know, they kind of have that transaction, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have like Dave's talking about there could be an abusive parent and reconciliation might not be possible at all. And I think the thing we're getting at in both those questions is, you know, is it possible for an individual to be reconciled with God, but they are unwilling to reconcile with man? Depending on that situation, if there's continual abuse,
mm-hmm.
right, you can't have a reconciled relationship as long as that person is continuing to sin. As far as it depends on you, you're seeking that out, you're hopeful, you're doing everything you can to help bring them to repentance, but that relationship's never going to be completely reconciled, and that person's continuing in sin.
Would that be different than unwilling, though? Unwilling kind of implies like just an absolute, no,
yeah.
I'm not going to do this.
Yeah, I think so. I think so, because I think in that situation, you're willing to reconcile under certain conditions. And so maybe you could kind of, depending on the way you word it, what you mean by unwilling, you might say, no, it's over, no matter what happens, I'm not willing to reconcile. That's probably the case where you'd say no, then you're not really reconciled with God. But there could be times where you could say, there's going to be, it's never going to be a full reconciliation until that sin's been dealt with. So you're willing to proceed, but you're not going to kind of sweep things under the rug, hide things, cover things with that person if they're continually engaging in sin. Other thoughts about that? Whether or not you're... Okay. So in this scenario, notice that the guilty party senses conviction first, right? So look at the verbs there. What happens? Let's just run through. What are the verbs you see in the scenario? First we have your offering. So the person's offering, then what happens?
Remember.
Right? Then there's a remembering. Or they remember. Remember. Then what happens?
Go.
Then they go. Mm-hmm. And then they
be reconciled.
Yeah, they reconcile. Then they
come
back.
Yeah, come back.
Come back. And then they
offer.
Right. So it kind of comes full circle that in this case, these are all actions kind of initiated by the person that's making the offering. And was this person the offender or the offended in this case? They're the offender, right? So they remember that their brother has something against them. So this is the person that has done the offender. This is the offender. So when we sin against our husband or a wife, right? We sin in any relationship. God's goal is that the person that did the offending should be the one who initiates reconciliation, right? And so when we go to this, go and you could break down, what would that reconciling look like? What are some basic things that that would involve?
I think acknowledgement of what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Saying confession and acknowledgement. Mm-hmm.
Asking for forgiveness.
Yeah, asking for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. That's good. Anything else?
Repentance.
Repentance, yeah, yeah, right. And so I've done this, please forgive me, and then turning away from that. So those are key things, parts of it.
Just possible restitution.
Yeah, if there's some way you can make things right.
Yeah.
Right, if there's some way you can make things right, right? I stole from you,
mm-hmm.
I confess that, please forgive me. I'm not gonna steal from you any longer, and if can I restore what I've taken from you?
Sevenfold.
So, yeah, sevenfold.
It's an acknowledgement of the hurt too. Like it probably wasn't just the offense, but there were things that happened as a result of that offense.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe their reputation was hurt to other people,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. Like there were consequences to what you did in that person's life. And acknowledging that too, I think is helpful.
Yeah, and so that could play into like what does it look like to make restitution? It's kind of a balance where. When you seek, as you're seeking forgiveness, you're recognizing that nothing you can do can atone for that sin, but on the same page, you want to make things right as much as possible. So it's not like we're going to make it up that like it never happened. We can't ever take away our own sin in that way. So there's certain acknowledgement that nothing I do can erase the fact that I've sinned. But right. And we're going to get more into the details of that. As we get kind of further along. So what do you think? Is that, this is the ideal. So do you think Wanda, if she reads Matthew 5, 23 through 26, would that be reasonable for her to say, okay, it's been 5 years, but Frank's going to read this and he's going to, I'll just wait for that to happen. What do you think? Jesse, what do you think?
I don't really think so.
Yeah?
He's just by kind of having him read that one verse and then just hoping that, oh, he'll come to me now. Sure,
yeah.
He's going to read.
Right.
It's like, I don't know if I should count on that.
Yeah.
He didn't bring it up for 5 years.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Why is he going to bring it up now?
Not really signs.
Yeah.
Brian, were you going to add something? No. What do you guys think? Reasonable? Probably not. Probably not, yeah. So a lot of the other clues, like if you remember, we have this long passage of time, and we see that they've never spoken about it up to this point. Frank's never brought it up. So there's really no sign that Frank's going to initiate anything. So it's probably not, I mean, it's possible, but it's probably not reasonable that you expect this. That something's going to have to change. And so... that's the question. If Frank doesn't, should she let it turn into year 6, 7? Is there anything that she could do? Okay. What do you think? What should Wanda do?
I think maybe bring it up to somebody, like maybe to her elder or her pastor.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I don't really know how to navigate this. It's been for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just to see what they say.
Mm-hmm. And we see that they are in the pastor's office. We're not really sure whether Frank or Wanda brought that about. Okay. What else? What do you guys think?
Probably should talk to Frank.
Yeah, maybe just go to Frank herself. And at least bring it up, see what happens. Yeah. You think that's going to be tough? What's going to be the hardest part about doing that?
Initiating it, maybe?
Yeah. Why? Why is it going to be so hard for her?
That seems like a hard conversation to have. Being like, hey, noticed you lived
mm-hmm.
in this sink for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk about it. That's probably not going to be a comfortable or
mm-hmm.
fun conversation to have.
Yeah.
Especially on her part.
Yeah. It's going to be difficult. It's going to be very difficult. Other thoughts? Why is that going to be difficult? Why is that going to be challenging for Wanda to come to Frank and bring it up to him?
Because because for whatever reason, Ron has also been sweeping this under the rug for 5 years.
Yeah, they both have to kind of establish this cold, we're just not going to deal with it. And they've kind of built this long-term pattern that something's got to break, right? For in both of them or one of them to change.
Yeah, and so likely her pushed down feelings are going to come up over it as she brings that up.
Yeah, and kind of like Tanner was saying, especially when there's a long passage of time with this sin, it's likely things grow, other things are, everything's colored by this sin that hasn't been dealt with, and it kind of festers and affects every part of their marriage. So there could be lots of things that are connected to this one event, and so addressing that may open up a host of different things, right? So I think what we're getting at is that, you know, the first step, in order to have reconciliation happen, the only way that can happen is if one of the parties initiates it, right? And so if both parties are waiting for the other, there's never going to be a reconciliation, right? And so this, I mean, it's a good time to talk about, like, think about the sin in the garden, right? So we were reconciled. Who initiated it? Yeah, God initiates the reconciliation, right? And so when we think about that, the reconciliation, right, it's coming down this direction, right? And we see that he reconciles us. Oh, this is my teacher picture, right? Draw the cross in the middle, right? So he reconciles us down this way, right? And so it's through the gospel. And that's the thing that doesn't cover our sins. It cleanses us and it atones for those sins. And so if the man and the wife, if they've received that reconciliation, right, our goal is to then forgive, right, and go this way, that each one is seeking to go to the other through the gospel, right? And so whether it's Frank or Wanda, that's kind of our calling, is that if there's unrepentant sin, there's sin that hasn't been dealt with, both of you, offended and the offender, your goal ought to be to bring reconciliation, right? And so let's look at this passage from Luke, right? So the question is, what should we do if someone sins against you? So now we're looking at from the other side. You're the offended party. If somebody want to read there, Luke 17:3-4, go for it.
Pay attention to yourselves. If your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. And if he sins against you 7 times in the day and turns to you 7 times, saying, I repent, you must forgive him.
Yeah, awesome. So now we have the offended. And let's walk through the progression there. What's the first thing that happens?
Pay attention.
So we're listening to this, and then what's next?
Sin.
Yeah, who sins?
Brother
sins against you. Brother sins. Okay. Specifically, right, against you. So then, what do we do?
Rebuke.
Okay, so there's a rebuke. Rebuke the brother. Then what happens? Who repents? The brother?
Okay.
Potentially, right? Brother might repent. That's an interesting part of it. And then what does he say?
Forgive.
So you have repent, forgive, and then what's after that?
Keep on.
Yeah. So then it's like a...
repeat.
Yeah. Like an infinite cycle, that if he sins against you, rebuke him again, and then he repents, then forgive him, and if he sins against you again, right?
That's just 7 times, though.
Just 7?
Just kidding.
Up to 7 times, Lord?
490.
400, oh, just that, just 490. Someone's got the marks down the third. You're at 489. So let's just kind of think back, and just, you can think in general, but specifically with Frank and Wanda. So like, what, we're not just talking about the sin itself, but how did, like, a lack of confronting, how did that affect their marriage? What does that do?
They stop talking about each other's sin.
Yeah, a whole bunch of things stop being addressed. Because if you talk about this, then I'm going to talk about this, right? So the communication really got limited, where it's very cold, very distant. What else? What are other ways it affected their marriage?
Probably a lack of trust.
Yeah. Yeah, where Wanda probably doesn't trust Frank, and Frank may not trust Wanda, I don't know. They're not communicating, they don't. What else? Yeah, there's a lack of intimacy. A lot of times that those times of intimacy are indicators of that idea that biblically, right, when man and woman come together as one, then they become one flesh. And so that lack of intimacy often is a revealing that there's a lack of oneness between them. There's a distance where they don't want to come together as one. And anything else? What do you think?
Seems like they kind of just became roommates.
Mm-hmm.
Cold.
Yeah. Yeah, and I wonder, it doesn't say in the situation, and this is something where I would be curious and kind of have my own suspicions, I guess, but like, I could find the first page somewhere. But, you know, it says that they look perfect on the outside, that they're actively involved in the church and respected in the community. So in one sense, there's probably a lot of deception going on. Because if they're actively serving in the church, but they have this unrepentant, undealt with, unreconciled sin in their marriage, they're probably not openly sharing that with the people in their Bible studies, the ministries where they're serving. They're probably putting on a face that everything's good, we're great, Frank and Wanda are doing great. So that can be something that, right, the web of deception, the more you cover up, the more you kind of hide, that can spread to lots of different areas. Any other thoughts about ways that could potentially be affecting their marriage?
Well, if they start putting a fake face on with other people, they start putting a fake face on with each other.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, it causes, there's a lot of shame and hiddenness where they don't feel like they can be sincere and genuine in confessing who they are when they're talking about growing, being sanctified. They're not really opening up about this sin that needs to be dealt with, and so there's a hiding, much like not just the original sin, but Frank, you know, men in that are viewing pornography, it's something that now they can do in a very, very hidden way, and it's almost impossible to know unless that person confesses it, or if you really, really dig into their life. And so they live this life where they hide it, and there's a certain fear of getting close to anybody. So same with Frank and Wanda, there's that eliminates all intimacy. And when you have any kind of hidden sin, no matter what it is, it eliminates your true ability to genuinely be who you are with the body of Christ in your marriage or in any relationship. So you're always afraid of being discovered, afraid that someone's going to find out what your hidden sin is.
One thing I think Wanda would probably need to understand, and this doesn't take responsibility away from Frank,
right?
But in her coldness, she's making it a lot easier for him to justify continued porn use. My wife's cold to me.
Mm-hmm.
She won't have sex with me.
Mm-hmm.
She's not interested in me.
Mm-hmm.
So it, in a sense, she... Again, not that it takes responsibility away
sure.
from him, but something that I think that's something that she would need to understand, that makes reconciliation all the more necessary,
mm-hmm.
and quick reconciliation too. Like you need to get
mm-hmm.
on this now. This,
yeah,
this is not helping.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's incredibly hard to continually love someone like when they're sinning against you. I mean, when we think about the only way this is possible, you think about the gospel and the love that Christ showed when he came to reconcile us when we were his enemies, right? When we hated him. That's the kind of love that is required in a marriage to really reconcile, is that if they're sinning against you, hurting you, harming you, it takes that type of love to seek out reconciliation instead of just returning sin for sin. And it's going to be... So I think we're at to the point where let's get into Matthew 7. So these are kind of the steps that we want to think about. We talked about earlier when we said, go and be reconciled to your brother. What's that going to look like? So let's read through this passage. It's a great, great, very instructive passage. And before we get to the Matthew 18 passage, we're going to look at what are some steps that she should take. So anybody, let's have some. Matthew 7, 1 through 5. Go, Amberly. Amberly, I guess.
Judge not that you be not judged, for with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there is the log in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye.
Awesome, awesome. So sometimes, right, if we read maybe the first part of this passage, judge not that you not be judged. So is this forbidding a judgment of sin in others' lives? What would you say? No? Okay. It says judge not, right? So what is the point? If it's not saying, if it's not forbidding judgment, and what specifically? What do you see in there? Because it says judge not that you not be judged. Let's really look at the text. Where do you say, no, it does say, what part of that text?
Verse 5.
Yeah, verse 5. Okay. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly, two, take the speck out of your brother's eye. So if it's not prohibiting judgment, what is the main point of this text? If we are going to take the speck out of our brother's eye, what's the instructions here?
You've got to deal with your sin first before you deal with anybody else's.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's the key point here with the whole idea of the speck and the log?
It's easy to see other people's sin and also see it as a big deal when really you've got all of it sometimes, mm-hmm. often, according to this verse, you know, like bigger sin than theirs. But you're very willing to see their sin.
Yeah. You're very willing and able to see a speck, but what about your own sin?
That we see our sin first and our sin's worst. Our sin to us is bigger than what you're doing.
Well, I don't know, because like it is bigger in this, because it's the log, right? But I think it may be that's kind of the goal, is that we see it that way. Because I think if we were to go and try and pick the speck out and not recognize that log in our own eyes, sometimes we can be in a state where, I think as Lauren was saying, it's easy to see specks and to miss the big log that's in our own eye, right? So, and there's a great, you know, what would be the problem if you had the big log in your own eye and you go to take the speck out of somebody else's?
I mean, it's like what it says in verse 5, you're a hypocrite.
Yeah. Right, how are they going to receive your help?
They're not really going to take your help, because they're going to turn around and be like, well, you are also doing the exact same thing. So, like, why aren't you taking your own advice? You're giving me advice, but you're not taking mm-hmm. your own advice. So, like, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Okay. Yeah, and in some senses, it would be like a person who's not been reconciled to God. And they don't know the gospel, they don't understand the gospel, how can they really seek to have true reconciliation with their spouse? They don't have the means or the supernatural power of the gospel to really redeem and to cleanse us from that sin. And so what do you think about, you know, Frank's sin was this viewing of pornography. So Wanda reads it and she concludes, okay, well, I'm not viewing pornography. Is she ready to rebuke him? Do you think the log and the speck should be kind of the same sin, like you said? If I'm not doing the same thing, then it's not hypocritical.
Well, I think she has her own sin related. I think she was bitter towards him.
Mm-hmm.
And she needs to address that first.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys think?
I don't think it needs to be the same, because, I mean, if we're always waiting for
me to have struggled with the same sin,
yeah.
or I can go address their sin.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're never going to be addressing each other's
yeah.
sins.
Mm-hmm.
We all struggle with different things.
Yeah. And I mean, you see that sometimes where people say, well, you've never dealt with this, so you can't, you don't know what it's like,
mm-hmm.
type of thing. So they only want to be helped by someone who's also failed in the same way, or you don't understand my situation. So what are some commonalities between, how can Wanda know how to take the speck out if she's not dealt with pornography? What are some commonalities between maybe her sin and his sin that can help her understand? Yeah.
I mean, at the heart, it all comes down to they're trying to fulfill their own desires in an ungodly way.
Mm-hmm.
For him, that's pornography. For her, that's avoidance because probably she wants comfort or she's intimidated by the thought of confrontation. So at the heart of it, she's taking a sinful path of avoidance in order to satisfy her own comfort. So heart issue is pretty similar, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
In a sense, both are being deceptive.
Yeah.
So you mentioned it, like both are lying to the members of their church
mm-hmm.
about how their lives are putting up that kind of thing. So
mm-hmm.
both are kind of being deceptive. Let's say Frank, a little bit more with his pornography, but both are kind of putting up this kind of mystery
mm-hmm.
to their church.
Do you think that every time we confront, that there will always be logs in our own eyes that we need to remove? Like I see a sin in my brother, my sister, my husband, my wife, and I think, okay, I need to address that, but let me find the logs.
I think
not
it's
always, but
pretty
often.
Pretty often, yeah.
They may not be logs, but they could be like maybe twigs or something. But like, <That's what laughs>
<it's>
true.
Yeah. Yeah. And what's? I mean, why is that so important? What is it? What's helpful in that process that helps prepare you to actually? We talked about like what would be some wrong ways, or maybe. But what's so helpful about the removal of the log? That's gonna. I mean, it's obvious in this scenario that. You're going to see a lot better. You take a log out of your own eye. Okay, I can see clearly. So what's the spiritual kind of significance of that? What's helpful about it?
The goal is conformity to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And so just having an attitude of self-examination to make sure you are also in the same
mm-hmm.
same attitude is healthy. I don't think you need to. I mean, that self-examination is good, and but you also don't need to create problems for yourself that maybe aren't there, so
yeah.
you feel justified to go
yeah.
to someone else.
Mm-hmm.
If you're willing, oh.
Go ahead, Laura.
Okay. I was going to say, if you're willing to do that, the other person will see that heart attitude with the way that you approach them, and they'll see that you're not condemning them, but
mm-hmm.
trying to restore them, because
mm-hmm.
you see your own sin,
yeah.
too. They'll be able to tell that in the demeanor and the conversation.
Yeah.
Because if they do bring that up, you'll say, you're right, and I'm trying to work on that too.
Mm-hmm.
Let's work on our sin together.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm working on that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah.
Right. Like rather than being equally offended,
mm-hmm.
they'll see you're trying to restore them.
Right. Right. It can make a huge impact on the offender that you're getting ready to confront. You can add, Becky.
So I think. Like if Wanda stops and realizes that, okay, we are supposed to be walking together
mm-hmm.
as heirs together of the grace of life, one flesh, helping one another. And what's happened is because he sinned against her, she's basically said, I'm cutting you off.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to keep walking towards
mm-hmm.
Christ while you dive into your
yeah.
pornography, whatever
I'll
it is.
Be holy and you're going to be sinful.
In her mind, she's still walking towards Christ and he's like over here
mm-hmm.
and she's okay with that.
Mm-hmm. With him...
With him, like, cutting him off,
mm-hmm.
this one flesh.
Right.
And so if she's going to confront him while she's still in this place of thinking, I have been right with God
mm-hmm.
this whole time, then that's the log, because
yeah.
he's been experiencing her coldness that
mm-hmm.
whole time.
Mm-hmm.
And so what she needs, if she realizes that by cutting him off and just being like, okay, then you go do your thing in your ditch over there,
mm-hmm.
that she has failed to love her brother, her closest brother, her husband,
mm-hmm.
that's breaking the second greatest commandment.
Mm-hmm.
Now she sees herself as guilty at the foot of the cross, just like he is guilty at the foot of the cross for failing to love her properly and, you know, everybody he's looked at in pornography. It's the same great commandment that's been broken.
Yeah.
And so that prepares her to say, I am a common sinner with you. Here's what I've done. Now how can I help you?
Yeah.
And how can we, because the goal of all of it is not to smack him back into line, but it's so that both of them will be walking as heirs together in the grace of life.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. I think the we see the negative example of this with the, when Jesus gives the parable of the unmerciful servant, right? Where we just forget. And if Wanda forgets all the sin that she's been forgiven and that millions of dollars, and whenever we forget, the sin towards us becomes greater than our sin against God. And so,
And I think in this context, there's a lot of self-righteousness. And I think we forget, like on the grand scheme of things, self-righteousness may be the most dangerous sin. Because people don't humble themselves before God. They think they're superior to others. They lower God's glory. And so a lot of people enjoy looking at the sin in other people because it helps them feel better about themselves and more righteous about themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. And I think, you know, in my mind, that whole thing here, that we, the wife and man, wife often don't see themselves this way, equally below and at the foot of the cross, right? When we see that self-righteousness exalts us as closer to God or lowers them as further away from God. And I've heard someone say, you know, like, it'd be like two people measuring how high they can jump and then saying, who can jump closest to the moon, right? Well, I can jump a little bit higher, but it's basically the same thing. It's this infinite, this distance that's been bridged is virtually infinite, is my math, right? Whereas this offense is much less towards one another than it is against this holy God. And so that, like we talk, like you're saying, when we come, Wanda really sees what she needs and what she's been given through the gospel, that prepares her to give, bridge this smaller, smaller distance.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking through, like, if someone can feel free to approach their sister or brother and say, is it because they have fully repented, they no longer repeat this sin anymore? Or is it because they have confessed their sin and are, you know, beginning the steps of repentance? Like, is there a difference? Or, well, I believe there is a difference, but
So you're asking about the offending party is going to go and ask for forgiveness, or the person that's been offended is going to approach the person, the second one.
Yeah.
So Wanda, she's been offended, and you're asking about when she comes to Frank, at her spiritual state, and the difference between, like, it sounds like you're saying, like, you said, like, fully repented,
sure.
Or...
So, so say she has acknowledged her sin. So she has confessed to the Lord her sin. She's received forgiveness. But she's still going to be working through this for a while.
Yeah.
Does she still have the, is she still in the position that she can go now talk to her husband even though she's not fully repented of it, like, in the sense that she no longer struggles with it anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good, we got a lot of words there, so, like, we've got confession, right? We have repentance, we have, like, no longer struggling, right? There's the idea of sanctification, so I'll kind of turn it back, really good question, right? So the idea is that when have we repented enough to come and confront Frank? What do you guys, any scriptures come to mind, or... What would you say to Wanda? She's like, yes, you're right. You know, I confess I've been doing these things, and it's going to take me, you know, I need to change. When do you think she's ready to confront Frank?
The verse says, when you see clearly.
Back in the
verse 5.
Right.
I mean, the goal of the taking out the log is to be at the point where you can see clearly. And I think that basically means agreeing with God about their sin and yours.
Yeah.
I mean, if we wait till we don't struggle with any of the things anymore, then we're all going to be just going around sipping our mouth.
I'm going to get to it. I'm going to get to it.
Yeah.
Just any day.
Like, maybe Wanda is still in this process, you know?
And there is, I don't want to stretch the analogy too far, but you take something out of your eye, it's kind of sore for a while, right? And it takes a while to heal, but the seeing clearly is that you're agreeing with and seeing things through the lens of Scripture and what God says about this is what sin is, this is what I've done, and you have, I'm in the process of repenting. And there's never a time where we're going to be completely there, right, while we're still living. So that's kind of the key part. And it's something that, again, I think Lauren mentioned this, when she comes to Frank, he's going to know some of those things that, okay, if she started to change and act differently, but she's going to have to be honest by saying that this is a process, you know, I'm going in this direction, but it's that gospel that we confess our sins, God's faithful and just, but right, we're not going to walk in darkness anymore, but we can't claim that we never fall, right? Like First John passage, that, you know, if we walk in the light, we can't claim to be without sin, but we don't make a practice of it, so. It's a good point. So the main thing is that she can't come to him and still hold on to something, say, no, I'm in the right, if it's...
She needs to agree with God.
She needs to agree with God and be ready to repent and turn from that. So, let's look at... turn my page. Hiding back there. Let's see, where am I? Okay, we are on page 5 now, Galatians 6:1. Galatians 6:1. Abe, you want to read that one?
Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted.
Okay, through Galatians now, right? So, what's the first thing that happens?
Someone's caught.
Caught. So this is kind of like our scenario. Caught what? In transgression. Caught in sin. And then what happens? Restore, okay? It should be restoration. Restore him. And what's that? How?
Gently.
Okay, and then there are any other verbs there? Restore?
Keep watch.
Okay, keep watch, right? Watch out. So, someone's caught in sin. We're going to restore him and keep watch, right? And what's the concern? Right. Keep watch on temptation. Right. That's what we're watching out for. So our goal, when we seek to restore a brother, is that two things are happening. We're restoring them, right, helping them to come out of sin, but we're also preventing and guarding ourselves from sin as well. So it may seem strange, like what are we going to be tempted in? So think about Wanda. What might be some temptations to sin that she might have when she goes to confront Frank?
Maybe anger and also shifting the blame solely on him.
Could be anger. Mm-hmm. And blaming? Yeah. Anything else? Ways that she might be tempted? What would be some other ways to restore him other than gently?
Harshly.
Harshly.
Put him in his place.
Time, Frank. We're having this talk, right? So, and there is definitely some wisdom with that when you counsel with people and confront people. There are times where how gentle, right? And how to do that correctly, but we are supposed to do it. Seek him out in a spirit of gentleness.
A tempting attitude that can lead to a spirit of harshness is more of a focus on you did this to me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Less of a focus of we've as Becky was saying, we've sinned at the cross. Mm-hmm. And the focus now becomes, this is what you've done to me, mm-hmm. and this is how you have to repay me,
yeah.
and satisfy me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, and whenever we, the more tempted we are to execute judgment, the more it's an indicator that we view the sin as primarily against us. Because it's really the offended party that has the right to, you know, seek the punishment, basically, to seek to justice. So if we're not the ones that are primarily sinned against, then we're not as concerned about justice and retribution for our own sake. What other attitudes or thoughts, anything else that might have her kind of have the wrong spirit that could tempt her to be harsh with Frank? Any other thoughts or things that we haven't mentioned?
Did we cover bitterness?
I don't know. I don't think we have specifically, but I mean, kind
yeah.
of been 5 years is a good
yeah.
amount of time for bitterness to build.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
And this probably is bitterness, but just an attitude for really just him to get punishment
mm-hmm.
and not really seeking a restored relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think when your comment and like bitterness and what Becky was saying about she's happy with him to be in the ditch, like there's this idea in bitterness that you really want the person to suffer. Right, you want them to suffer like you suffered, and you're content with them. They've hurt me. I want them to suffer, and so that attitude could really, you know, prevent. It's almost like you remember the story of Jonah, right? I don't want to go there because they'll repent and God's going to forgive them, right? They need to be punished.
Mm.
They need to suffer.
Yeah,
yeah.
And there could be a tendency. For Wanda to make her identity the righteous martyr.
Right.
I'm married to this deadbeat husband, but still walk with, kind of like what Becky kind
and
of brought up. And
all the women view her as this saint of suffering.
Yeah, and honestly, I have seen that many times where when the husband truly repents or the wife truly repents, that identity is taken from them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're not sure what to do. And they're not very happy with their husband's repentance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think too there's a sense where, you know, it gives her whenever you're the offended party, it gives you a lot of freedom to just
mm-hmm.
not really be obedient towards your spouse.
Yeah.
Because they
uh-huh.
they're not worthy in your eyes or
uh-huh.
right. So if he's repenting and seeking to, if she comes and expects him to repent and become, right, then that means she's going to have to as well, like they're going to have to come together again and become, be intimate again at some point, right, to restore, the goal is to really be restored. And if they've built up a 5-year pattern of, I kind of like just being roommate, right, that's going to be hard for both of them, right, and there might be, a reluctance to move past that. So, you know, what's the folly, right? What happens if she does come to him with a harsh? She comes to restore him, but she's harsh or she's got anger or bitterness. What can she expect?
The harsh word stirs up wrath.
Yeah, stirs up wrath, bars of iron. Right. Very rarely can we expect that harsh anger to produce, oh, you're so godly. I am wrong. You're right. I'll bow at your feet. There's definitely, we see in the Proverbs, that's going to happen. So what about the watchfulness? Is there anything particularly, how can you prepare yourself to confront both to be gentle and watchful? You have any, what would you do, what are some thoughts, actions you can take to approach them in a gentle and in both watchful way where you're watching out so that you would not be tempted?
I think practically just write it as a letter at
okay.
first
mm-hmm.
and then just correct
get your thoughts all down. write a page, right? 10 pages and you, okay, yeah. Okay, got that out.
You did
it
down.
Yeah, that's right. I want to delete all these other pages. Yeah.
They're both attitudes of humility. Mm-hmm. And so if you're gentle, you to be gentle, you have to be humble. If you're not keeping watch,
mm-hmm.
might be arrogantly thinking that you can't fall in the wrong or you won't. And that's the foothold that Satan looks for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think there can be a temptation to want to win the argument instead of win the soul.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not about being right.
Yeah, and you might go in there with the right motivation, but when they counter accuse you and you get defensive saying, and you can never forget the whole objective is to try to bring this person into a right relationship with the Lord
yeah.
and each other.
You ever heard the explanation of how you saving a drowning person, a lifeguard,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you come in the front?
Nope.
No. They'll just try and drown you. They're you see, you have to watch out, right? Come around from behind, right, to keep them from bringing us both underneath. So you have to know that you're probably going to get poked back when you're confronting. Yeah. Or the Tanner, and then we'll go ahead.
Just like examining her heart that she's not doing this just out of revenge. Like
uh-huh.
she's not just going to lash out at her husband to give him what for.
Right.
Last fight.
Get it all out.
Yeah. She's really trying to, it's really an act of love.
Mm-hmm.
And it's out of a desire to really restore the relationship, not
mm-hmm.
give anything.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was also just thinking, like, make sure to be very careful to not use his sin as some kind of leverage or blackmail against him.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's right now or after reconciliation happens.
Yeah.
Not using this as leverage.
Mm-hmm. That you're doing it to bring about some other end or some other goal or some other desire, that the main goal is reconciliation. I think one other that I thought of too was just anytime you confront someone that she has clearly in her mind that her success, a successful confrontation, is an obedient one, that she's doing it the way God calls her to, and it's not dependent upon Frank's reaction,
mm-hmm.
because she can't control, she doesn't know how he's going to react, and she could walk away feeling as if she's failed, even if she's done. If her goal is just, we have to be reconciled, Frank's going to repent, he's going to, right, instantly change. And so sometimes there's a sense in which when you're obedient in any relationship, whether you're sharing the gospel, whether you're disciplining your children, or you're confronting sin, there's certain things that you do to be obedient to the Lord, what he's called to do, and you have to kind of trust the Lord to work in the ways that you can't. And so that's going to be important. As she comes in, knowing, focus on how does God want me to act? How does God want me to love this dearest, closest brother, my husband? And kind of having that trust in the Lord that it's up to you in that sense at the same time. So. Okay, this is a good stopping point. This is a good stopping point. We're right in the middle there.
Yes.
Wanda's getting ready, and we'll pick up there next time. Let me pray for us. Father, it is a great, great joy to have the chance to just talk as brothers and sisters, husbands and wives. Just pray for all of us that we would just put it to practice, that again, we would be daily reconciling with you, removing the logs from our own eyes, and as dear and close brothers and sisters in Christ, and as husbands and wives, that when we see those sins or specks in our brother or sister's eye, and our husband or our wife, that we could approach our brother to rebuke, to restore, to do it in a spirit of gentleness, out of love, seeking just your glory in all things, that you would be glorified through repentance, through the gospel, through sanctification, and that we would all be ready and willing to extend the same grace and mercy that you have extended to us, to our brothers and sisters, and so demonstrate to them the glory, the beauty of the gospel, that you have redeemed us from darkness into light. And pray that you'd be with us and help us to do that this week, and help us to continue to glorify you as we gather in fellowship and worship today. In your name, amen.